As we had announced tonight, we'll be studying about the blessings of the millennium. The next age up is the kingdom age. The age we call the millennium, which simply means 1,000 years. The next age is the millennium when Jesus will rule the world as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. It'll be a golden age. And I'd like to begin by saying that every child of God will go into that age in a glorified body, because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to complete our redemption, to give us body redemption. We are told in 1 John 3:2, "Beloved, now we are the sons of God," meaning born sons of God. "And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear," that's his second coming, "we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We will then have bodies like Jesus had when he came out of the grave. We will have undying bodies." Someone said the other day about a person, said, "He's dying." And I said, "So are we." Well, I smile, but it's true. We're all dying as to the body. And to sit down and worry about it hurries up the process. So we're not worried. But when Jesus comes back, he will change these corruptible bodies into incorruptible bodies. He will change these mortal or dying bodies into immortal or undying bodies. We're told the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of an archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Again, Paul says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." And he's talking about our bodies being glorified. I look forward to the time when I will have a body that will never suffer fatigue. Will never be subject to disease or death. A body that we can live in forever. That does something to me now. Puts a little spring in my step. Gives me hope. Keeps me going. It's real. I'm looking forward to it. Now that's going to be one of the blessings. We're going to start out in this golden age in bodies that are undying, bodies that will not need cornbread, buttermilk, turnip greens, won't even need a bloodstream. My honest conviction is, in the light of the scriptures, is that we'll have bodies invigorated by the Spirit. I have no doubt in my mind about that. I mean bodies, but I don't mean bodies that are dependent on the bloodstream. Flesh and blood, as we know it, cannot inherit the kingdom. Now, another blessing that we're going to have is that the devil will be imprisoned. The death sentence was passed on him at Calvary. But just before the millennium begins, and one thing that will enable us to have this really wonderful age is that the devil will be bound and put in the death cell for 1,000 years. Revelation 20 and verse 1. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, the great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old devil, which is called Satan. The dragon, you know, calls him two or three names. No misunderstanding about who he's talking about. Talking about the devil. And he will be bound and will deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he'd be loosed for a little season. That's Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3. Now, the devil is not bound at present. We are told in 1 Peter 5 and 8, be sober, be vigilant, watchful, because your adversary, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. So he's loose. I know there's a devil because of the Word of God. But I also know from experience, Brother Penn, I have a lot of tooth and claw marks on me. And I suspect that's true with all the rest of you that are children of God. The devil is very real. He's on the loose. Actually, the battle we fight tonight, Paul tells us, is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, against wickedness, spiritual wickedness, in high places. Would it sound strange if I said to you tonight that the world is ruled by spirits? It's true. You know, we have spirits, good and bad. And so, the devil is going to be bound, cast down, put in prison for 1,000 years. He won't deceive the nations. Now, that implies very strongly that he is now deceiving the nations. And he is the underlying cause of war. And as long as there are wicked, unregenerate men in the world who are willing to let the devil take over, there will be wars. You know, we may be able to get Afghanistan cooled down, but we'll blow a patch off somewhere else. We'll have that to work on. We will not have universal peace until Jesus comes back and the devil is bound. Now, that leads me to the next point, that the millennium will bring universal peace. You know, I like that. I like peace. There will be peace even in the animal kingdom. We're told in Isaiah 11 and 5, or rather 6, Isaiah 11 and 6, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid. Now, they don't do that now, unless one's inside the other. They just don't do that. Isaiah 11, 6, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, that's a venomous viper. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den, poisonous snake. Children play on the den of rattlesnakes, won't hurt them. Well, it's God's way of saying it will be a time of peace. Did you know that animals have not always been the carnivorous eating creatures that they now are? In Revelation, Genesis 1:30, we are told that God gave the animals green herbs for their food. Not until the entrance of sin did animals come to be as they are today. Well, I have all reason to believe in the Garden of Eden, the animals did lie down together. They were peaceful. And then sin entered. And when sin entered, nature grew sick. Not only will we have peace among animals, but we'll have peace among the highest of God's creation, among men. We are told in Isaiah 2:4 that he shall judge among the nations, that's Christ, and shall rebuke many people. Rebuke many people. And they beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. 1,000 years of universal peace. Now, someone may ask, do you actually believe that out there in the future, somewhere, perhaps soon, there will be an age of 1,000 years where the animals will literally be at peace one with the other and nations will not fight as they are now? Yes, I believe that, literally. I accept it because the Word of God teaches it. Then again, there will be plenteous harvest. Now, that's another way of saying the millennium will not only bring spiritual blessings, but material blessings as well. And I think this is what Amos had in mind. The full blessings of the kingdom. And I think in this particular point, relating specifically to Israel, Israel is God's earthly people. And Israel as a nation will be exalted and blessed wonderfully during the millennium. You say, well, they sure got a little bit of hell to go through before they get there. That's true during the tribulation, because that's called the time of Jacob's trouble. Amos 9:13 says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper. Isn't that something? You don't get through with the harvest until it's time to plant again. And he goes ahead to say, and the treader of grapes, him that sowed the seed. They won't be getting through with the harvest. The harvest will be so bountiful, so plentiful, until they won't get through with the harvest before time to plant again. Now, let's be frank about the situation today. Again, I must take issue with the electric church, as I've come to call it. You know, you listen to a lot of those fellows, and I could call their names, wouldn't do any good. You know who I'm talking about. They leave the impression that really you're not much of a Christian unless you're healthy and handsome and pretty well healed financially. But the truth of the matter is that it's altogether possible that someone will have less materially after becoming a Christian than he had before. We're not promised riches. We are not told to seek after riches. We are warned against that. We are told, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. We brought nothing into the world, we can take nothing out. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And you know, I think this generation needs that more than any other generation has ever needed. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, I'm leading up to say this, friends, that as children of God, our blessings now are primarily in the realm of the spiritual. And you know that's true. If you don't know it, you need to learn it from the Word of God. But during the millennium, there will be material prosperity. There are too many things for me to cover tonight, but I know that when Adam and Eve sinned, the ground was cursed. The ground on which this building is resting is under the curse of God because of the sin of Adam. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. But in the 8th chapter of Romans, it talks about the deliverance of what we call nature. And nature is personified and pictured as standing on her tiptoes, looking for a great procession of redeemed saints, because nature knows when God's people get their body redemption that there will be a deliverance of nature. This earth is going to produce and be with Edenic conditions. desert will blossom as a rose. And it'll be all right to have material things then, because Jesus will be ruling the world in righteousness. Did you know, I speak reverently, God was no fool when he cursed the ground because of the sin of man. Can you imagine what it would be like now, man being what he is, if he lived in a world where the ground was uncursed? He wouldn't even wait for God. He wouldn't even give him a passing notice. It's best that the earth be cursed, since we are what we are. We need weeds to fight, grass to fight. I used to wonder why on the farm. I'll tell you, I've had my share of battles with crabgrass, cuckleberries, horseweeds. Oh, I'll bring it up. I used to wonder why. They flourish without any trouble. And here we have to plant corn and cotton, and we got to fight the bugs and worms. And I thought of the many trees that grew on the farm, and you never had to worry about them. But if you wanted a peach tree, you had to plant it. You wanted an apple tree, you had to plant it. Strange, isn't it? But that curse somehow be lifted. I don't know whether it be a complete lifting or not, but it'll be lifted in such a wonderful way that the earth will really produce. And it'll be a time of material prosperity as well as spiritual joys. We are told that the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah 11 and 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, that is government. You say, well, it doesn't say government. But listen, folk, every time in the Bible when the term mountain is used, and you know that it's not talking about a literal mountain, that it becomes absurd to so conclude, then you think of it as a symbol or a picture of government. As a mountain rises up higher than the surrounding territory, so power, government, is over people. The government of the Lord's house will prevail. The Lord's house is the church, you know. I like the statement Dr. Bogard made one time. He said, I believe during the millennium that Jesus will be the king and the church will be the queen. I believe that. It says that the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Zechariah 14:9, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. And we're told in Revelation 19 and 15 that out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he'll rule them with a rod of iron. You know, I think God's always wanted a world ruled in righteousness. And he will get it when Jesus comes back. What does it mean to rule with a rod of iron? Well, it just means that no one will successfully resist the rulership of Jesus Christ, that this world will be run right. I look forward to that. And may I tell you this, the millennium will give way to something better. That's right. I got thinking about the blessings of the millennium today and just got real happy about it. Then I thought, you know, there's something even greater than that. And my mind went to one verse. And I close with this, Ephesians 2:7. That in the ages to come. Now, I've been talking about one age. But this says ages, plural. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. The millennium, good as it is, will end in rebellion. God will put down that rebellion. We'll be talking about that later. And the earth be dissolved, melted in fervent heat. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. Behold, I make all things new. I like new things. And when God gets to that, where he says, I make all things new, he'll make things new that'll never get old. Don't we have a bright future? Why should we have faces long enough to eat oats out of a gas pipe? As one fellow used to put. We have a good future. Is it possible there's someone here tonight who is not a child of God? I doubt it, but let me tell you, if there is, you don't have a bright future. All you have is death. You look forward to that. Judgment. And eternal hell. So the future for you is black as midnight. But it need not be that way. You can have a hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Let me say what I've been saying to myself as well as to others. In the midst of all the problems we face today, I'm an optimist. But my optimism is centered in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. To know him, to love him, to serve him, is life at its highest and best. You know, sort of hillbilly style, and that's what I am. Alive, still alive, hillbilly preacher. But you know, life at its highest and best is to love and be loved. Now you can think on that a long time. Life at its highest and best is to love and be loved. It's good to love the Lord. And it's good to know that he loves you. With a love that will not let go. Let's tell others about this hope and do what we can that others may know it. Whom to know is to have eternal life. Brother Penn, do you have any announcements? I want to thank you for your presence. We appreciate our visitors tonight. I don't know how to express my gratitude to God and to God's people. First of all, I think I'm so grateful that I'm saved. And I'm grateful that I have a place of service here with a fine group of people. Love God. You're looking at a man who has a deep, settled peace. And if I know my heart, a heart of love and gratitude to God and God's people. May we stand for our closing prayer. As we bow in prayer, we'll ask Brother Doug Burris to lead us. Amen.